G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Sports Ethos. Today we are talking sell high players. Let's maximize the value on these guys and get you one step closer to a fantasy championship. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's invincible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey. You can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. And as always, Callum Mack is here to join us. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well. To all fans, once again, happy holidays. It's that time of the year. I'm excited for my holiday, that's for sure.
Yeah, holidays are coming in. For you guys over in the States, it's probably getting pretty cold and pretty wintry over here. We're sweating bullets and sort of living through storms and everything at the moment. So, quite the contrast. Different way of doing our holidays over here, but it's how we like it. Today, we are talking some sell high guys. So, last podcast, we had a bit of breaking news. We talked about some buy low guys. So, if you haven't already, go and check that one out. But today, some sell high guys, players who you can trade, get most of the maximum value, and boost your chances to win your fantasy season by getting a better player in return from here on out. So let's not waste any time getting stuck straight into it. Cal, who is your first sell high player?
So my first sell high guy is Derek White. He has been playing pretty well recently. Probably a reason maybe even to get him in the trade block. He always has been a bit of a hot cold player, I'll be honest. There's been times he's been awesome. He gets you some steals and blocks for a guard, can get the assists as well. Over the past couple weeks, he's ranked 51st, putting up about 17.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, a steal, low turnovers, really good free throw percentage. The field goal isn't quite there, but I mean, there's so many net positives there. It's awesome. As I said, last 14 days, he has been pretty hot. When you look at his overall ranking, I mean, preseason was 58. I always thought that was too high. There's no way I was taking him there. But right now, he's 51st. Maybe just because of that preseason value, because of the current, you could put him on the trade block if you wanted. Maybe you decide your team isn't doing too well on blocks. You can just get rid of blocks because that's probably one of the main reasons you really have him as a guard. He is really useful in the block category. But I just don't think it's quite sustainable. I don't know what to say about the Spurs. They are a weird team. DeJounte Murray is awesome. I think Derek White can be hot and cold like this. For some reason, I just don't quite have enough faith in him. So for that reason, I would probably be putting him on the market. But if you're confident in him, if you reached out and you got him at that 58th ranking, you probably would want to hold. But for me, I personally would probably put him up on the block and see what's out there.
Yeah, he's a really funny one because I've obviously liked Derek White a lot as a fantasy player in the past. I was going to the season that the stars were aligning there. The DeMar DeRozan move obviously freed up a lot of space and usage for him to take the reins a little bit more and generate more assists, more points. And obviously, we love the defensive stats from Derek White. But I don't know. My confidence in him has been shaken. He obviously didn't get off to the best start of the season, but has come good in the last several weeks. I never know how to evaluate him because a lot of people and a lot of fantasy analysts out there, including myself previously, they're very high on Derek White. They like his across-the-board stat contribution. He was, before the last couple of seasons, actually pretty decent in field goal percentage, but that's completely kind of dried up a little bit, and his field goal percentage has dropped fairly rapidly over the last couple of seasons. So, and I don't think it's coming back. I also don't know how he sits in this team long term, and whether he's even going to be on the Spurs after the trade deadline. He's not as young as we would think. I think he's like in his late 20s or something like that. Doesn't quite match the timeline of this Spurs and their basic rebuild pretty much. So the Spurs, I don't know, they're not a big team that does a lot of trading at the deadline, but yeah, I think he's a slight sell high because like you, I don't necessarily believe in him anymore in terms of his ceiling and things like that. And if you can you can get someone to sort of buy into the fact that, oh, here comes the top 50, Derek White. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case. So if you can get someone inside the top 50 who obviously you're a bit more confident in, I would be happy to sign off on that. And I think that's that'd be a good trade for someone else like that. Say you get Derek White for this might be a hard one because he's been playing so well, but a Darius Garland or something like that, I would execute that trade any day of the week, for an example. All right, let's move on to the next guy here. Speaking of Darius Garland, I'm talking about his teammate. It is Jarrett Allen, who just quietly is just absolutely lighting the league on fire. And do you want to guess what his ranking is the last couple of weeks? Cal, you might already know because we looked up the rankings for this exercise. Do you remember what it is?
It was around 30, wasn't it?
No, well, not on the season. For the last 2 weeks, his last 2 weeks, he's actually the second ranked player over the last 14 days, which is pretty crazy. In the last 2 weeks, he's been putting up 23 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 assists, shooting 80% from the free throw line on 5 attempts, and 77.5% from the field. So those legendary Robert Williams numbers that we were talking about, but on ridiculous 12 attempts per game. So he's been absolutely killing it ever since he came back. I think, what was he away for? Was it a COVID thing or... I can't remember, but anyway, ever since he's been back in the roster, he's been just going bananas. He's obviously not going to be the second-ranked player. I think that's pretty clear. But where are we valuing Jarrett Allen? Because, look, he was one of those sort of like last reliable big men in the run preseason. We were sort of talking about him and Jakob Poeltl and sort of Isaiah Stewart, obviously. Jarrett Allen was the player to grab there, but how high can he go and where's the line that we want to trade him for a better valued player?
I'll say in the preseason that there was definitely questions around the roster. We weren't too sure. You got Larry Markkanen coming in, you had Mobley, the rookie.
Yeah.
But they also got Jarrett Allen, this huge contract, 100 mil, and he is performing. In terms of the rank, I mean, look, current rank for the season is 32.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say he's just going to maintain around that 30 value.
Really? You think that high?
61, and we thought that was a bit high, but dude, the man's field goal is through the roof.
He's messed up.
Shooting 71% on 10 attempts a game. That is such a ridiculous carry. It's ridiculous. Yeah. The blocks is also there. The free throws don't destroy you. They're not great, but they're kind of manageable. Rebounds at 11 a game. Like, he almost gets a steal a game, too. Pretty crazy. I'm looking at the season stuff. If you look at the stuff in the last 2 weeks, it's obviously even better.
Yeah.
He would be putting up historic field goal numbers, about 77%.
Yeah.
And you look at the points as well. Like, even the points, it's just, 20 points, 25, 28, 28. He's putting it all together. And with Garland there, they obviously seem to be a good combination. I think it is a trend, and I'd be keen to maybe wait it out, but if you wanted to sell high, see what's out there, go for it. You've obviously hit this one out of the park.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if I so think him as like a 30th kind of ranked player. I think the issue with him having such a high field goal percentage is any dip, even if he goes from like a 70% guy to a 60% guy, 60% is still really good. But it's like, that's a 10 percentage drop. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an amazingly high level on such high attempts that it's such a big boost to that value. And anything you drop from there is a huge hit to his value. Like, he's still not giving you any assists, threes, steals. Like, the points, 17 points a game, but it's not massive. So a lot of his value is in that field goal percentage. Obviously, the rebounds and blocks are there as well. But just a small drop from that historically high level, and you see a big hit to his value. So for me, I'm more valuing him at like that 40 to 50 range, still obviously a lot higher than what he was preseason at that 61 preseason ranking. So I think he's probably definitely a top 50 player, probably more likely a top 45, maybe around that 40 mark. But I think he does have room to drop in that field goal percentage a little bit, which will bring his ranking back down a little bit further. So if I'm able to trade him for, potentially someone like Jonas Valanciunas or someone of that nature, Jaren Jackson Jr. even is another example. Obviously, you have to take into account that field goal percentage hit and the threes and things like that. But one of those more surefire guys in the top 40, Domantas Sabonis is another example. I would be happy to do that and just, you know, expecting a hit to his field goal percentage, which is, you know, incredible to say the least. Would you execute those kind of trades, or if you got offered that for Jarrett Allen, are you accepting, or are you a bit more hesitant?
Look, Sabonis, I'm definitely taking. Even with Jonas,
Sabonis is ranked behind him. Let's put that out there. He's the 40th ranked player versus the 32nd. So, you know, you could probably do that trade.
I think that Jonas Valanciunas is obviously getting beefed with. Oh, look, Zion may not return. I've noticed it's happening with him in New Orleans, but when Zion comes back, Jonas Valanciunas will obviously take a hit. So for that reason, Joe Allen is a safer insurance policy.
Fair
so
enough.
Maybe I would stay with him. Who's probably not so high in
that example. The other one was Jaren Jackson Jr. Obviously a different player, but I think Triple J, I just love his game. So I would love Triple J, unless obviously you're punting threes and you want to look after your field goal percentage and Jared Allen is the reason why you're competitive in that category. It's a need-based thing, but yeah, personally on a value point of view, rankings, I think JJJ will be higher than Jared Allen this year.
It is really nice to have those players that honestly just carry you. Like Jared Allen can win the field goal for you.
Yeah.
You have like a Triple J. He contributes in threes. He gives you good blocks. His rebounds is down, which you do have to account for. His field goal is also down. Having a player like Jared Allen, and I'll be honest, like the rank that's 32, it's kind of being hurt by the three throws a bit. Like he might even pick that up. Like you never really know. But to have someone who shoots such a high amount of attempts and also so efficiently can just win you that category, you know, 80% of the time, which is such a huge swing. So for that reason, I would be staying outside of Sabonis from what you mentioned. I'd be staying true to Jared Allen.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I don't mind. I think he's obviously putting up a great season. So I think he's someone that obviously, like you said, if you got him, you hit out of the park. One more comparison to you. This is not to say that I would do this, but who would you prefer? Say you're punting free throw percentages. Who would you rather, Clint Capella or Jarrett Allen?
Now, I want Jarrett Allen.
Yeah, right. Because one was getting drafted a fair bit higher.
Well, I just think like Jarrett Allen, like we just know his role now. He's got the contract. He's getting the minutes. Mobley can play next to them.
Yeah.
But that like Hawks roster is deep, man. It's deep. And that's kind of what's his usage is down.
Congo's getting closer to it. Okongwu is getting closer to return as well. We have to take that into account. So I think I'm with you. I wouldn't make that trade. I think you aim higher than that. I think Sabonis might be a good target. I think is someone that we sort of landed on there. That if you can maybe swing a Jared Allen for a Sabonis trade, that might be something you can look at. Obviously, you're taking a little bit of a hit in blocks there, but you might be able to sort of make that up with something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next sell high guy. Who have you got for us for the next sell high?
It's a bit of a heat check guy, I'll be honest. Jayshon Tate.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people picked him up recently. He's up to 75% rusted. So over the past week or so, ever since he put up that big
monster
32
line.
Points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 5 blocks on very efficient shooting as well. Obviously, a lot of people picked him up. I should have seen the percentage that it was on that day because that would have been, I picked him up on my team. Yeah. I saw him put those stats up.
I wonder what it was.
I grabbed him straight away. Hopefully he will replicate it. And he's been pretty solid since, honestly.
Like pretty solid. 15, he's been 6, amazing. 8, he's been amazing 15, since.
7, 4. Yeah. Like he has definitely obviously been worth earning. If I look like what his average has been in the past, let's say the past week, he's the 11th ranked player.
Yeah. 36 the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, 56% field goal. His shot attempts are like, you know, kind of like in the paint a bit. He does a bit of a, he's kind of like Kawhi Leonard like from the highlights.
Oh, wash your mouth out, Callum. Comparing it to Kawhi Leonard.
What a 32 point game. He was playing like Kawhi Leonard. In terms of like a best case scenario, what if this guy just for some reason became a superstar? That's like my comparison.
Right.
Will he become that? No. Of course, it's incredibly, it's a 0.1% chance that will happen. Firstly, 75% of rosters, go pick him up if he is available.
Oh, absolutely.
But otherwise, sell this man high. Obviously, he's been killing it. There's people out there saying he's like Kawhi Leonard. It's right now's the time.
There's one people, and he's on this podcast. Obviously, 36th ranked player the last 2 weeks is amazing, and he is definitely someone that deserves to be rostered, and you keep a hold of him if you can't trade him. But there's a couple of things that I think there's a reason he's going to drop off, and maybe he's not even rosterable in a month or two, to be honest. It could swing that way, because you've got Green, who's out at the moment. You've also got Kevin Porter Jr., who's out at the moment as well. This team is, you know, in the midst of the weirdest winning streak in the NBA right now.
The biggest winning streak in the NBA right now.
What the hell is going on? Like, what are we doing here, Houston? Why? Okay, cool. You won 6 games in a row, but you're still bad. But that could flip at any time. You know, they go back to losing. They start to experiment with different players. His minutes might come down. His usage might come down. There's a lot of flux in this team. So whilst he's hot right now, 36th ranked player the last 2 weeks, you can spit that out. Maybe, you know, you say, oh, I heard someone called him Kawhi Leonard or whatever, and see if you can get someone who's like a top 70, top 75 player. I would do that. I definitely don't expect this to continue. It might continue for a little bit longer whilst those guys are still out. So you might have a little bit of a window to sell him high. But yeah, I think Jayshon Tate is not this high upside kind of player that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Put him on the trade block. And look, if you get, say, let's say you get a top 80 guy, like, I feel like you'd probably do it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be a fairly good value. Someone who you know you're going to put in your starting lineup every night, because I don't think Tate is going to be that for the rest of the season. All right, let's go on to the next sell-high guy, and it is a guy who we didn't speak much about the preseason, and probably for fairly good reason, but he's doing really well right now. He's done well for the entire season, but it's Kelly Oubre Jr. Obviously, the Hornets right now are absolutely ravaged with injury and COVID issues and things like that. They're down a lot of players. They're throwing out freaking the rookies out at the moment. Book Knight is playing. JT Thor is playing as well. So they're down a lot of bodies. And Kelly Oubre is one of the big guys stepping up at the moment. He's the 98th ranked player on the season, which is something that I didn't think I would be saying. But in the last 2 weeks, he is... let me just pull this up.
The eighth ranked player.
Oh my God. Okay. I forgot it was that high. But yeah, you know, 25 points over 4.5 threes, shooting 52.8%. There it is right there. 52.8% field goal percentage is just ridiculously unsustainable. So yeah, easily sell high. If you can get someone back who's a top 100, top 80 player, similar to like a Jayshon Tate, I would be pretty happy to do that, because as soon as those guys come back, LaMelo Ball, and all those other players that are out at the moment, I think he's going to take a fairly sizable hit to his value, which is really only tied to high steal numbers, high threes and points, and that ridiculously unsustainable high field goal percentage. So I think most of those are going to drop away. What are your thoughts on Kelly Oubre?
This man is shooting like Steph Curry. I mean, the past 2 weeks, yeah. 4.5 three-pointers again. That's literally what Steph Curry does. Wild, and while he's also shooting 53% from the field. So obviously that will come down. Yeah. It has to. Another thing that kind of does boost up his overall ranking is his turnovers.
Yep.
But he always has historically been really good turnovers. Yeah, so if you're someone that cares about that, I mean, fair enough to you. He's never been over 1.8 turnovers for the whole of his career. We did kind of touch on preseason. I actually said that maybe he will go back to his Washington Wizard ways, where he will be kind of like that six-man role, come off the bench. Obviously, there's a lot of injuries right now in Charlotte, and he has been absolutely taking advantage of that. But he kind of has been that similar role. So I'll just say, look, I called it 148 preseason. Look, probably, I mean, 98th now, the free throws do hurt you, but I'd probably ride this out or just put him on the chip and block, because when the players come back, he will obviously take a bit of a hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably be valuing him higher than I would a Jayshon Tate. You know, probably at this stage, because, you know, even in the last 30 days and before the injuries and stuff like that, he's still been like a top 55 player in 29 minutes a night. It's still the field goal percentage. He's still in that time shooting over 50%, which we know with Kelly Oubre is unsustainable, but he's been weird. He's had highs and lows in his career in terms of that field goal percentage. Last year, obviously, he was terrible in the Golden State system, but he has had periods where he's like a 45% guy, so it could be more that he's just in a better system that suits his talents a bit more, and he's playing a bit more confidently. So he might be someone that obviously deserves to be in a roster spot and could be a top 100 player, but I don't think he's going to be a top 50 player. So if you can get anyone back, I would even say top 60, 65. If you can get back someone of that kind of level, I'd be happy to pull the trigger. What do you think in terms of the cutoff of what kind of range of value would you accept back in a trade?
Obviously, I think he will go down when they come back. So I'll have to say 75.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
Yep. So slightly higher than Tate.
But look, that being said, yeah, slightly higher than Tate. But that being said, we haven't had Gordon Hayward go down with injuries yet. And he kind of is the Gordon Hayward insurance policy. So
yeah, it's
when
coming.
That does inevitably happen, the man will be in the starting lineup again.
Yeah, true. So, you know, I think he's obviously, if you can't execute a good trade, you hang on to him and enjoy the ride. But yeah, like we said, aim high because he has had some eye-popping numbers the last couple of weeks. And they definitely jump out at you with all those threes, points, and their field goal percentage. So yeah, do your best to see if you can swing a big trade there. All right, let's move on to the last one each. Who is your last sell high there, Cal?
So last sell high is Lou Dort. He has been playing really well recently, and those OKC have been coming away with a few wins. The past couple weeks, he's been putting up stats like, you know, close to 20 points a game, 19.5, 1.3 steals, 0.7 blocks, slow turnovers. He's been shooting it reasonably well. Obviously, his field goal isn't his strength at all. He's shooting about 14 attempts a game as well.
Yeah.
So when you do get him, obviously be wary of the field goal slumps. But for now, the past couple of weeks, he's been shooting okay, 44 ranked. It's kind of like a good time in terms of, you know, mid-December, you can say, you know, this maybe he's going to heat up like this the rest of the season. He had a 28-point game last game.
Yeah, shut down Shea. You know, all these scenarios you can throw out there.
Exactly. As heaps ways the word, his 3 point per game has been really good. 3.2 three-pointers game is excellent. Good turnovers. So there's definitely an argument there for him. And for someone that was preseason ranked at 183, I did kind of mention him a few pods ago saying he probably was due for a bit of a hot game, but he's been hot for weeks now.
Yeah.
So
hot,
I think
several
it's
weeks.
Time to potentially, let's try and sell him high.
Yeah, let's try cash out for sure. Like, he's had some 27-point games and a 28-point game most recently. He had a 34-point game back in November. Like, he's been putting up a lot of points. And look, they need a lot of offense down there at OKC, but I don't think that Dort is... Look, he's averaging 19.5 on the season. I can see that coming closer back to like 16 or 15 points per game. The three is coming down closer to 2 per game. And, you know, just a fewer free throws attempted. And outside of that, you know, 0.7 blocks has never really been his thing. He's been a good steals guy, so maybe the steals hold true where they are. But just a few dips in a lot of other categories. He's not someone who's especially good at any one thing. So for that reason, especially in a head-to-head league, he's not super valuable for that reason. But again, in a roto league, maybe he's a bit better in terms of not hurting you anywhere, but I just think that if you can get someone who's top 60, top 70 value for Lou Dort, then you'd absolutely pull the trigger. A lot of these guys, I guess we are evaluating, are pretty similar, and they are a similar kind of vein of players, but they have been lighting up the league recently, and I think it's a little bit unsustainable.
Yeah, that's probably the main theme, isn't it? Unsustainability, and sometimes you just need to get rid of them when they're hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lou Dort. I do like Lou Dort. The steals are there.
Oh, we love Lou Dort.
James Harden stopper.
Yeah, we'll keep referencing that playoff series back in the day when OKC was in the playoffs. That was only a couple seasons ago. It's kind of crazy to think about that and their team right now. Lou Dort has been in a Game 7 playoff game at this stage, and now he's on this Thunder team. Let's throw it over to the last sell-high player, and it is Desmond Bane of the Memphis Grizzlies, who is playing really well. He had one randomly weird down game where they absolutely destroyed the OKC Thunder, obviously with the biggest margin of victory in NBA history, so he obviously didn't need to exert himself too much in that game. But outside of that, putting up lots of points, lots of threes in the absence of Ja Morant. The steals are also up a little bit higher than we would typically see for him. So I think he is definitely someone similar to how we talked about some of these other guys. Although of everyone we've talked about, I would rate Desmond Bane the highest in terms of like the Kelly Oubre's, the Tates, the Lou Dorts, all of those kind of players, outside the first two with White and Allen that we mentioned, I think that Bane is probably like that third highest in value in that kind of list. What are your thoughts on Desmond Bane, and what would you accept back in a trade if you're trying to sell high?
I'm a big fan of Desmond Bane. I was high going into the draft.
You were.
I thought he was definitely on my sleeper list. And, I mean, the past 14 days, 40th ranked. Yeah. It's pretty wild. 50% from the field. Really good points at about 17.5. The good thing about him, actually, I do have a punt assists team out there, and he's point guard efficient.
Yeah,
he can play that role. So
eligible,
for a team like mine, when I've only got the one point guard, he can be useful for that reason. If you're out there and want a bit of a trade for maybe you need that point guard, he is a good fit for that build.
Yep. Good shout.
But yeah, 3 pointers a game. Desmond Bane, 40th current ranked in the past 14 days.
Yeah.
I think obviously the one main thing is Ja Morant will be coming back. So when that does happen, he'll take a little bit of a hit, but he honestly has been pretty sustainable so far this season. So I'm not really too worried about him at all.
Yeah, I do view him as like a top 80 kind of player, maybe a top 75 even kind of player. But like Ja Morant just changes this team so much. And I think he's shooting 50% from the field the last couple of weeks as well. And I think that will drop down closer to 46, 47%, which, you know, takes away some of the threes, takes the points away. And then when you also take away the usage as well, you know, he goes back to, you know, scoring 14 to 15 points a game, shooting maybe like 2.3 threes, lower field goal percentage. And that just, when all your value is there, like he's only putting up 1.9 assists, you know, less than a block a game, you know, not many attempts at the free throw line, even though he's shooting 90%, and, you know, just over a steal a game, which is good, but not excellent. There is a few, there's not too much else outside of the points, threes and the efficiency to love with Bane. So when that usage drops down, his ranking will drop a fair way as well. So I'd be accepting anything inside the top 50, anything maybe if it's someone that definitely fits your need inside the top 60 for him as well. But like I said, compared to like your Tates, your Oubres, your Dorts, I would be valuing Bane slightly higher, in like a tier higher than those other guys, because there is a level of sustainability to him and what he is doing, because he will remain the starter when Jar comes back.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was going to say about top 60 to 65.
Yeah.
Anything below that, I'd obviously very seriously consider probably getting rid of him.
Yeah. I think he's in for a big season. We did highlight him in our sleepers podcast way back in the preseason. So hopefully you listened to Callum probably more than myself, and you picked him up and drafted him in your league. So congrats if you did. That'll do it for us today, guys. Make sure you give the video a big thumbs up. As we are doing a lot at the moment, we're requesting, if you want to help the show out, if you enjoy the content, if you love fantasy basketball, if you love us, the Ball Boys, make sure you give our podcast a rating over on iTunes, a 5-star rating if you like the podcast. We would be very thankful and very appreciative. And until next time, we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.